Can we turn for a scripture reading to the book of Lamentations, please, just after the book of Jeremiah, in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of it in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. And amen, we know the Lord will add his blessing, the reading of his precious and fallible word to her heart, just ending our reading there. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we rejoice in thee today. We thank thee for the wonderful mercy and faithfulness of our God. And our God, we just look to thee and we pray for thy help and blessing as we come into this place today. Lord, speak to us through thy word and encourage us and lift us up. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. My text is the two verses, verse 22 and verse 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. No other book in the Bible speaks so much about sorrow and pain as the book of Lamentations. The very name of the book indicates the suffering and weeping of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was grieving over the sin and the idolatry and the wickedness of the children of Israel. And we know that what had happened to them was that they had been carried into captivity. History tells us that that terrible event had taken place in 586 B.C., and the people remained captive in Babylon for 70 years while Jerusalem continued to be attacked and plundered. And throughout the book you read of Jeremiah's tremendous pain and sorrow and about the unfaithfulness of Israel. In Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12, Jeremiah cries, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." And he continues in verse 16, "For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water." And that is the general tenor of the book. You think of how he speaks in the portion that we have read about the wormwood and the gall. He says in verse 19 of Lamentations 3, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. You know, as we look around us today, I think that we should have an eye to weep over our land, and we have an eye to weep over the condition of the world in which we live. We have lived through a week in which there has been much on the news that perhaps would cause us to think. We think of the assassination of Benazir Bhutto in Pakistan. We think of unrest in the Middle East. We think of Islamic militantism and all the growth of that and the danger that our world is in because of the growth of that fanaticism that there is within many of the Muslims and the suicide bombers and one thing and another. We think of the news that took place in the last few weeks where the Archbishop of Canterbury said that it was not essential for a Christian to believe in the virgin birth. We have an undermining of the very fundamentals of the faith. And we can look back across a year in which there has been again an attack upon the Word of God and upon those that stand for the Word of God and for the very morals and the very basis and the moral values in which the Bible is based and which God has laid down in His Word. And we can see that in the latter days, things wax worse and worse. We look at our own community, we look at our own family, and there's much to weep over. But I want you to see that in the midst of this book of weeping, the prophet looks up and he sees that in the midst of his sorrows, as he turns his eyes from the things of earth and looks up to heaven, he begins to rejoice. Even in the book of Lamentations, there is one of these great confessions of faith. It is one of the greatest confessions of faith that you find anywhere in the Bible. And in the midst of the ruins, in the midst of the sorrow, Jeremiah looks up and he sees the Lord. And he says in the words of our text, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And men, women, we have come to the end of a year. I know that for some of you it's been a good year. For others it has been a hard year. There have been little ones born. There have been couples married. There have been deaths. And there has been sickness. And there have been difficulties as well as blessings. And we look back across the year, and I don't know for you, each one of us, the year has been different. There have been things that have saddened your hearts. There have been things that have gladdened your hearts. But isn't it good in the midst of it all to lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help, and to remember, like Jeremiah did, that God is faithful. God has been faithful to us in the year that has passed, and thank God he will be faithful to us in the year that is to come. So very simply today, at the end of our meeting, I want us to think about the faithfulness of our Almighty God. And there are three aspects of that faithfulness that I want you to see. I want you to see that God is faithful in the past. You'll notice that as Jeremiah thinks of the faithfulness of God, he recalls that God has been faithful to him and to his people in the past. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And you notice that God has been faithful in his pardon in the past to them. He says it was just of the mercy of God. If it hadn't been for the mercy of God upon us in the past, we would have been consumed. Luther rendered that word consumed as utterly consumed. And that's what it means. It gives the picture of the wrath of God poured out in devouring anger. The Bible gives the picture in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And again, that's confirmed in the book of Hebrews, where it says in Hebrews 12 and 29, for our God is a consuming fire. And who would stand before the wrath of Almighty God, who would stand before the anger of the God of eternity. And it's only the mercy of God for each one of us that we at this moment are not consumed. We might have been in hell today. You might have been in hell, and I might have been in hell. And each one of us, because we deserve nothing, only the wrath and curse of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And that would have been our faith right now if it hadn't been that God is a God of mercy and a God of long suffering. Think of those who have perished. We think of the awful despair that they must be in. And men and women, if you're saved today, you thank God as you sit here that you'll never be in that place. Thank God that God has been merciful to you. And not only has he been merciful in that now you are not in the place of consumption and in the place of damnation. But you know, God has also manifested his mercy in that he has provided a means by which you can be saved not only now, but forever. It's not only a full mercy, but it is forever. And thank God the Lord has given the opportunity to men and women to come and get right with him. You have that opportunity today. You have the opportunity right now to come and get right with God. God owes you nothing. You know, there are people and they have the opinion that God owes them something. That God owes them a mercy. That God owes them a blessing. God owes you nothing. You mightn't outwardly say it, but you know, in times of hardship and in times of difficulty, that's when it comes out and many people say to God, why me? Why me? God owes you nothing. You're a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. But it's of the Lord's mercies that he were not consumed. He has provided a way of salvation. God forgives us in the precious blood of the Lamb. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. How does God forgive us? By the blood of his cross. By being faithful to his promise. Because he has promised us in his word that him that cometh unto me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. So as we sit here today, and there are many worries and fears that you might have for the incoming days. There might be worries and fears about tomorrow, and you might have had a very hard year this year. A very difficult time this year. But if you're saved, then thank God for his mercy in saving you. At least you can thank God for that. You can be glad today. You can rejoice in the salvation of Almighty God that he has saved us by his grace and mercy. It is of the Lord's mercies today that we're not consumed. But not only has he been faithful in his pardon in the past, but he's been faithful in his provisions in the past. Because it says here in the text, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And thank God, not only have we a God of pardon, but we have a God who provides, who has compassion, who cares. Who cares? In Lamentations 3:25, if you look at it, the prophet says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Thank God the Lord has been good to us, not only in saving us, not only in continuing to hold us out of the pit of hell, as it were, and will for those that are saved for all eternity, but he has provided for us in so many ways. He has brought us through sickness. He's brought you through difficulty. He's brought you through hard times. He's provided for you even the ordinary things of life. And thank God for, even as a church, we can thank God for his mercy in the mission over in Lisbon. We thank God for souls that were saved, for backsliders that were restored, for God's dealing mercy in the lives of men and women. And we need to thank God as we come for his mercy in this year. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We come with thanksgiving to God today. Oh, thank him for his mercy, and for his blessing, and for his goodness. And God has been faithful in the past, hasn't he? Hasn't he been faithful to you? In spite of everything, you can look at his answers to prayer. You can see the way he's provided for you, the things that he's given you, the ability to come and worship him, the blessings that we have of an open Bible, and so many freedoms that we have still that we can exercise today. And it is God's mercy to us, new every morning. Thank God for that, that God is faithful and has been faithful in the past. But then not only has God been faithful in the past, but thank God he is faithful in the present. You notice what it says? It says, his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Sometimes we have the opinion, we get it into our heads, that God's mercy and God's faithfulness is for another day. It was for the day when the apostles were walking about, or was it for a day of revival, or for the day of reformation, or for a day when the saints of God were working in mighty power. It was a day of revival when God bestowed his mercies. But we do not, we can limit the faithfulness of God, but God's faithfulness is not limited. It is new every morning. That means it was new this morning. That means that today there's a new mercy for you. Today God is faithful to you. And as you've woken this morning, you've wakened to the mercies of God. I saw the notes of an old preacher, and he called these mercies day spring mercies. And I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a lovely term, day spring mercies. They just spring up with the day. And thank God for the fact that we have a merciful Redeemer today, and we can thank him for all his provisions. And we think of even the common provisions, the day-by-day provisions that he gives to us. And the Lord has bestowed them upon us. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 116 and verse 12 says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And in Psalm 103 verse 2, he calls us to forget not all his benefits. And thank God today that those benefits are for today. Now, what are the benefits? And what is the faithfulness that God gives us today? Well, I want you to see that they are blessings of compassion and caring. He says his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The Lord has a concern and a care for us. Think of what it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And our great high priest cares for us and succors us. And in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our circumstances, he's there to meet us at the point of our need. And he sends new mercies every day. He knows our every need. The Bible says that our very hairs are numbered. There's not one sparrow that falls to the ground, but our heavenly Father knows about it. And he says, are ye not much more than these? He knows our care. He looks down upon us and sees us. You know, in the time of Queen Victoria, Queen Victoria had a statue erected in the Isle of Wight, in Carisbrook Castle, Newport, in the Isle of Wight. And it's a statue to the Princess Elizabeth, who was the daughter of Charles I. And Princess Elizabeth was imprisoned in Carisbrook Castle on the Isle of Wight in the time when Charles was having difficulty with the civil war and everything. And this little girl was cut off from her friends, cut off from her family, cut off from her loved ones, cut off from all that she held dear. And then she fell into ill health, and one day she was found dead in her bedroom. But when they looked at the body, the princess had a Bible open. Her Bible was opened, and her finger was pointing to the text of Scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you go to Newport and the Isle of Wight, you will see the statue to Princess Elizabeth, and there is an open Bible, and her finger is pointing to that text of Scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what we do? We forget that God gives us rest. We forget to rest in Him. We carry our worries and our fears. We carry all our burdens with us. But God says, I will give you rest. We need to rest in Him because He's compassionate. He's faithful. He's able to give us all that we need. But not only is the faithfulness of God a compassionate and a caring faithfulness, but it is a constant faithfulness. He gives it to us regularly. It says they are new every morning. Every morning. We think of how the morning comes constantly and regularly. Now, sometimes we'd like to stop the morning coming. Sometimes we'd like to hold back the days. But there's nothing that we can do. It comes every morning without fear. The morning is there. The daybreak arises. And it says here that God's mercies are like that. They come every morning. They come constantly and regularly. You know, sometimes I think that that's why we take them for granted. Because they're always there. And because they're always there. And because they're new every morning. There are blessings, of course, that God gives. Special blessings. Blessings of revival. But the ordinary day-by-day blessings, we take them for granted. It's like sleep, isn't it? You know, when we are able to sleep at night, we take it for granted. You go and you put your head on the pillow and you drift off into a lovely sleep. But if there's ever a time in your life when you couldn't sleep and you couldn't sleep for a number of days, you soon began to get grumpy and you began to realize the toll that it was taking on your body and the tiredness was there. And sleep is a wonderful thing. It's the mercy of God. But when it's taken away, it's only when it's taken away that we realize what a blessing it was. And men, women, do not take the mercies of God for granted. And we could speak of so many things, but there was one thing that comes to mind that it was pointed out to me very recently. And that is the blessing that we have in this land of gospel preaching. You know, we have the gospel preached in faithfulness in so many places across our land. And we thank God for the faithful preaching of God's word in almost every village and every town in this land. We have the faithful preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always some wee place, maybe a mission hall or something else, where the gospel is faithfully preached. And we shouldn't take that for granted because it could be taken from us. You go to England, a land that was singularly blessed by God, and now there are whole swathes of the countryside where there is no faithful gospel witness. There are them here and there, and in many places, probably surprisingly numb how many places there are. But there are places all across that land where there's just a handful. Just a handful. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, the Bible says, as the manner of some is. Don't take the mercies of God for granted. Just because they're constant. Just because they're always there. God is constant in the blessings that He bestows upon us. But not only is the faithfulness of God a compassionate faithfulness and constant faithfulness, but I want you to see its current faithfulness. Not only does He give these blessings every morning, but it says they're new every morning. They're fresh. They're up to date. They just meet us at the point. They're not something stale that was to meet the need of yesterday. Something that was there to meet the need of another day. And it might meet the need today to some extent. But because it's stale and was for yesterday, it just doesn't quite meet the need of today. No, it says that the blessings of God are new every morning. They're fresh every morning. They're up to date. They meet you just at the point of your need. As you have come to meet new difficulties today, as there are new worries today, as there are new circumstances to face today, so the mercies of God are new every morning. And you notice, by the way, that it's every morning. It's not every afternoon. Because the mercies of God don't kick in about 10 o'clock when the government office is open. No, they kick in as soon as you awake. Right in the very early hours of the morning, as soon as the clock strikes, the mercy of God is there to meet you at the point of your need. And thank God that God is always there with fresh blessings, with fresh mercies. Something that will just fit the need of today and fit the need for you. It is something remarkable that God's mercies, they are new every morning. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great that you have a new mercy for today? And no matter what today brings, or tomorrow brings, or the incoming year brings, God's mercies are new every morning. So, God is faithful in the past, and God is faithful in the present. And you can guess my third point, God is faithful in the prospect, in the future. Because if you look at verse 24, you'll see what it says. He says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in heaven." And it speaks of the hope of the child of God. And what ultimately is the hope of the child of God? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And more particularly, very often it speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19, Paul asks the question, "For what is your hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" That is our hope. That is our joy. That is our crown of rejoicing, to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. We think of that famous verse in Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, God has been faithful in the past, and God is going to be faithful every day with fresh mercies as we go into a new year. You know, this for the child of God. Thank God that the mercies are forever. They're forever. And when he comes again, he will bring his people with him, and we will reign with him, and we will have glory, and we will be with him then for all eternity. And what a wonderful thing to realize that God's faithfulness, not just for yesterday and for today, but it's going to stretch on into the countless ages of eternity. And you notice the focus of our hope is the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." And the hope of every child of God is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Perhaps there are some here today and your hope has grown dim. Perhaps your prospect is not too bright, and the difficulties are surrounding you, and they're facing you, and they seem to be staring you in the face. Well, thank God there's a fount of hope, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let's look to him. You know, there was a Presbyterian minister many years ago by the name of Dr. Robinson, and he was out one time looking for children. He was inviting children into his Sunday school, going around the doors and trying to get children to the Sunday school. And he came to this little house, and it was no more than a closet. He called it a closet himself, just two rooms. And the outer room was very small, but the room where the lady that he met was even smaller. It was no more than a cupboard. All you could get in was a single bed and a table and a washstand, I think it was. There were three things. That's all there was in this room. And the only light that came in was three little windows above the door. No outside light or anything. Now this lady, he discovered, had been in that room for 14 years. She was sick. She had rheumatism. She couldn't get up. She couldn't help herself. She couldn't get up without any help whatsoever. She was bedridden. And she had only been out of that room once in the 14 years. Nobody called with her. Nobody knew about her. Except that there were a few friends that came and provided for her and sometimes lifted her out of the bed. But that's all she had. No minister knew. He discovered that no minister ever called. He said to her, "Does your minister not know?" And he said, "No, sir, no minister ever knew about what's happened to me." He said, is it because you've given up your faith? Is it because your faith has been damaged by what has happened that you've never asked for a ministry? She said, no, sir, that's not it. She says, my faith and hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they found out that the woman was a Christian. And they said to her, but have you never doubted then that God has been faithful to you down through these ages? She says, well, no, sir, but only once, just when I got sick. I wish that God would take me then. And I just hope that God would take me then. But down through the years, God has been so faithful to me. And the minister began to visit the woman week by week then, or on a number of occasions anyway. The woman would never talk about herself. He found out very little about her, actually, except that she was a Christian. Found out the church that she belonged to generally, but she'd never talk about herself. The only thing that she wanted to talk about was her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was her hope. That's the thing that she was looking to. She wasn't bothered about herself. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was facing his difficulties, you know, Paul was shipwrecked and stoned and beaten and suffered all sorts of things. But you know, at the end of it all, he said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And he said, the afflictions, well, they're just light. They're nothing in the light of eternity. In the light of eternity with Christ, it's nothing. And men and women, our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do you see the focus of our hope, but look at the foundation of our hope. It rests in Christ alone, and therefore it cannot be toppled. Matthew 6, verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every day will bring new burdens, and every day will bring new challenges. But thank God we can say today, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God has been faithful in the past. God will be faithful in the future. And for those that are saved, he will bring us to eternity itself and be faithful throughout the countless ages of eternity. Are you saved today? Have you hope, that prospect? Are you relying on the faithfulness of Almighty God? Depend upon his promises today, for God is faithful. He will never let you down. He is faithful in his pardon and faithful in his purpose, faithful in his provision, and faithful for all eternity. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.